Hey, everybody. Welcome back. So I am calling this Stewarding Prayer Part 3. And one of the reasons that I felt that I was supposed to split it up into another podcast is I don't want these to get too long. You know, I know that each of us are busy and our time is short. You know, I used to drive to work and that's really when I would listen to podcasts or sermons or music, and that was often my time with the Lord in prayer. And I just keep trying to remember that and keep that in mind. You know, my average commute was around 20 or 30 minutes, and you know, I really don't want to go beyond that when I can, because I really respect your time. So I'll just get right to it. I was finishing up just some prayers that I pray over my kids and how I pray and things that I really believe equips them. I think I had mentioned in part 2 of this little series on stewarding prayer that I often will find verses or places in the Word of God where I desire to see my children manifest and employ characteristics of, you know, heroes of the faith, you know, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, David, Joshua, Caleb, Gideon. And so one of the other things that I like to pray is Romans 4, 20 through 21. I pray that my sons and your children would be like Abraham, that they would not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but that they would be strengthened in their faith and give God glory, that they would be fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. I want my children to be so full of faith, but I love the way that Romans recalls Abraham, that they would be fully persuaded that God has the power to do what he has promised. Yeah. Another thing that I pray is that the Lord would teach my husband and I how to connect with our children in their weaknesses and how to connect with us in ours and how to lead with their strengths, that we would be quick to confess and admit mistakes, that our home would be a place where confession is normal. We are called to confess our sins one to another. However, we are not great about that, right? Like, that's not a culture that is easy to sustain, birth, or foster, because it's uncomfortable. It's very uncomfortable for us to confess our sins one to another. But James 5:16 also says that if we confess our sins one to another and pray for each other, we will be healed, because the fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And that is something I pray over myself, over my husband, and over our children, that we would be quick to confess our mistakes, to confess and repent of our sin, and that confession in our home would be normal, and that the supernatural love and forgiveness would grant grace for transgression. You know, I often tell my boys, I'm like, most of the time you're going to be hurt by your brother or by me or your dad or someone else, and you're not going to feel like forgiving them. And I tell them all the time, forgiveness is a supernatural process. Apart from the God, it is impossible to give someone forgiveness that has completely wronged you. It only comes from him. When we are commanded that we would forgive our brother, we would forgive, right? The Lord's Prayer, forgive those who trespass against us, that we would, you know, we also forgive those, right? Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who forgive us, right? That's a supernatural process. And we have to be bold in our place of admitting where we are weak, where we admit where we need prayer, we need help, and that we would create a place of normalcy that our children are, we don't have it all put together, and we're not trying to you know, create a facade that is absolutely untrue. So in my house, there's pretty wide open communication. We do a thing every, we try to do it most weeks. You know, I'm not going to say we do it perfectly, because then you'd think I'm perfect, and I'm not anywhere close to that. And that's crazy to even think that. But one of the things we endeavor to do in our home is we have a family board meeting. My husband and I have been in business a long time, and just wanting our children to feel like they have a seat at the table with us. You know, obviously we're still the leaders of the home. They, just like a good father and mother, we do discipline our children, and that's critical. But there's also this place of allowing them to have a partnership with us. And so in our family board meetings, one of the things we talk about is there any place that, you know, we need to ask for forgiveness? You know, is there something we've done this, you know, or any of us have done that have been hurtful, or that's, you know, was frustrating to you or upsetting, and how can we get better at that? And then we pray through those things. And so it really becomes that place of, just like James, it becomes this place of, hey, this is a home that's a normal thing, right? Confession is normal. Talking about where our strengths are, understanding how to lead through our weaknesses, and understand that is a very normal thing, and also challenge one another to bring that before God, that we would grow in the places we are weak. One of the other things that I pray is that my children would grow to be strong in the Spirit, Luke 1:80. And I believe that the Holy Spirit gives power, but I pray that they would ever be growing in that. They would be growing in the strength of the Holy Spirit. I pray that the Lord would make their love increase and overflow for each other, 1 Thessalonians 3:12. You know, that's another thing I try to tell the boys, you know, love is supernatural. Real, true love that can stand the test of time is not something that I can muscle on my own. My flesh will win. I will not always feel like loving that person. And so I pray, 1 Thessalonians 3:12, that the Lord would make their love increase and overflow for each other. There would be a supernatural love given to them by God for each other that literally, it supersedes anything they feel in the moment. I pray that the same things that were said of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would be said of my sons from 1 Thessalonians 3:12. And I just think that those were mighty men. You know, they were mighty men. They were known for what they carried. And I want that for them. I want my children to be known for what they carry in Christ. Yeah, that's Daniel 1:17. Let me see if I can pull that up while we're sitting here. You know, like I said, a lot of these things are just heroes of the faith, men and women that we look at. You know, what was said of their life? What things did they embody? What things did they learn? How did God teach that and grow that? Right? It says in Daniel 1:17, as for these four men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, that Daniel had understanding in all dreams and visions, right? And that is just, I want that for my kids. I ask that the Lord would give Jared and I and you the vision and the heart to love well, those that God brings into our lives through our kids, right? I pray that when they do go to marry, that they would desire our blessing, and that we would be able to give it freely. I pray that our hearts would be united to one another. I decree and declare and pray that my children will not grow up tormented, demonized, confused, addicted, or unsure of who they are. You know, that they would be men and women who understand and know their identity, that they would know their purpose, they would be pursuers of God's heart, and they would be restorers for those who are broken. And I just feel like, you know, we have to allow in a remnant that our kids would be holy and set apart. But I think in order to really do that, we have to give them a place in our family where they're not looking to the world around them to give them a place to belong, to give them what they're missing, right? And it's not that we can provide it all humanly. It's not humanly possible, right? But it is a process of endeavoring that we would let them in and we would be in with them, right? And so we become this idea of we do this together. You know, you have a place not just in this family but in the world, and that we would be people who help them pursue the purpose and plans that God's put on their heart. And I think that just starts with listening to who they are. So get into a quiet place. Start to read the word and ask the Lord, which one of these things should be true of my kids? You know, who did you make them to be? How can I partner with them? How can they partner with me? You know, it goes two ways. You know, my children blow me out of the water all the time with the things that they notice. And I think it's just this place of we got to go beyond just, you know, the prayers, the selfish prayers that we want to have. We cannot have that. We have to pray His will into their lives. And in order to do that, we need to have a fresh perspective on how we pray and what we pray and when we pray. So I hope that you guys have enjoyed this little three-part series on prayer. I pray that even just one thing spoke to you, blessed you, empowered you, emboldened you. I really believe that this is where, you know, the battle really is won over our homes. And I believe that we need to let go of prayers that come from our flesh. We need to rise into prayers that really come from Him. And I think that means we have to sit with Him in it. So leave me some comments. I'd love to know what stuck out to you or what you'd like to hear more about, or, you know, if there's just something God's talking to you about. I'd love to hear it. I hope you guys have a great rest of your day.